Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Specht.
Hello.
What's happening, Derek?
Not much. Not much at all. You know, hey, you know, we actually, last week, we talked about the fall, but this week it actually is fall.
It is. Monday was the first day of fall. Well, the fall equinox was the 22nd.
Which was Sunday.
Yeah. So the first full day.
First full day of fall.
Was Monday. Monday.
Yeah, correct.
Summer is gone.
Yeah.
Winter's on its way.
Yeah.
Shoot me now.
Keep going.
Yeah, it's... I didn't do as much as I'd wanted to this summer.
I didn't.
Life got in the way.
I didn't either. I had high expectations. I did everything I had intended, but I had also hoped to... The big trips were done. Did those. But I had full intent to start... Remember you said you always took your kids... You know, it's a Mackenzie trip. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I was planning on starting trips like that. Like, go for just a one-nighter or a two-nighter with Beckett, and then go with Stella. And I just never got around to that. It's like... Weekends, I don't know, it's like I'm not planning my own life, but weekends are just too busy.
That's exactly what it's been like all summer. It's just like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
And yeah.
Well, so this weekend we need to do this, we need to do that, we're doing this. Really now?
Yeah.
Well, okie dokie.
And then after like 5 or 6 weeks of that, you have a dead weekend. It's like, I'm not doing anything.
Dear diary, today I napped, and I got up from my nap, got a drink of water, and went for another nap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? Every so often, you got to have one of those years where you don't get out tripping, and you don't get out paddling every weekend. But you know what really busts my brain?
What?
Because I got to say brain, not something else.
Got to be PG.
Is going on social media.
Yeah.
And seeing, you know, Sunday, oh, just back from my trip. Here's pictures from my weekend.
Oh.
And just nonstop everybody enjoying their weekends. Yeah.
Well, you
screw
didn't.
You people.
Yeah.
While I was digging up stumps and moving people's houses and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Like I say, I mean, we've been fairly lucky over the years that we've gotten a lot of trips in, a lot of paddling, a lot of camping, a lot of canoeing and stuff. And every so often, once every 30 years.
Approximately, yeah.
Approximately, give or take five. You've got to have a crap-o summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we've gotten stuff done. We've done things and that, but not big trip. We've only had the one in Tamami here. And the trips that we did had planned, unfortunately, got kiboshed, but it's always next year.
I got some good trips in. I just wanted to do some solo trips with the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? You definitely got to make that effort to get those in because they'll definitely remember them. And
oh, yeah.
You know, where, I mean, Arianna's loved doing those trips, and now she's over in Japan trying to do some paddling over there.
Yeah.
Right? Getting with a group that one, there's one group that does kayaking, one of the schools, and they had some festival with a canoe club there, so she's trying to get out with them and do some a couple paddles and stuff. So, yeah, it's awesome. You know, you get the chance to do it. Kids remember it.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is fall. There's still tripping to be done.
There is.
I don't stop tripping until November at least.
Yep.
And then winter.
Fall is, for me, I've said it, you know, way too much, but fall is my favorite time to trip. I'm going on a couple trips this fall. I'm doing three trips. So next week or this week, I'm going on a 5-day. Then like Thanksgiving, we're family camping. And then November-ish, first-ish is Algonquin Park camping. So I'm getting some more trips in.
Have you guys decided where yet? In October or November?
I don't know, you're part of that, aren't you going?
I don't know.
We're thinking our initial idea didn't pan out because the campsites are all small on that lake. So we're thinking of a different lake now. And nobody's talked about it since people mentioned that lake. And I'm not going to mention it now because I don't know where we're going to go. But
I'm just going to start throwing out lake names.
There you go.
I'm going to go into that little email thread. Hey, how about this place?
Yeah.
That sounds good. Nah, how about this one? I'll get myself disinvited.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Why isn't Sean here? Shut up. Don't mention his name. A curse on ye.
Yeah, there's nothing in stone yet, but I think we're close to narrowing town. Yeehaw.
I'm going to try to pull a Derek.
Hmm?
Just tell me where to be. When to show up.
Oh, yeah. I'm not playing anything.
And I'll be there. Because right now, it's a toss-up between going winter camping to test. Because we all holiday weekend, we always... October, we always test out the winter camping gear. Because it's still mild.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can do that in the backyard, too. So, it's either go winter camping or go canoe camping.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-day versus a 4-day.
Yes.
Hmm. Right now, the way things are going at work.
You want the 4-day?
That 4-day will turn into, whatever happened to that guy, Sean, that worked here? Remember that guy? He went away on a canoe trip and never returned.
Yeah. And not because he's lost out there, because he quit.
He lives with the bears now.
Mm-hmm.
The bears, the moose, the deer, the fox. Grizzly Adams. If you don't know who Grizzly Adams is, you're too young. Go look it up. Just Google that stuff.
I used to watch that show all the time.
Right? That was a good show. That was good. I think that was about the same time. That was the 70s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like Herbie Lovebug type era.
Herbie the Lovebug, Grizzly Adams, Beachcombers.
Yeah.
Beachcombers was the 80s.
Was it?
I think so.
70s, 80s?
Hmm. I mean, the monks there was Love Boat as well. Love that. Oh, I think that's coming back.
Love Boat. Really? Fantasy Island came back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard it wasn't so good.
Why? If you don't have Mr. Rourke and Tattoo.
Yeah, I know.
It's just not the same.
No.
Don't bring back these TV shows. Matlock is back.
Yes.
Madeline Matlock. Because, you know.
Yeah.
You got to just ruin the TV show by bringing them back.
Night Court's back.
Yeah, that came back.
It was like
2 years ago,
4 years ago, 3 years ago. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see sort of that one because it's his daughter.
Yes.
That is now taking over, but
no.
Stop ruining these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were good.
Stop if you didn't rebooting. See
them, you missed out.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sucks to be you.
And they all can be out there. I started pulling down Space 1999 in the last couple months.
Red Dwarf apparently is coming back.
Yes. Well,
for a
couple of movies. They never really went away. They just go on a 2-year hiatus, come back, do a few more shows. Another couple years hiatus, come back. Another couple years hiatus, come back.
I used to watch that. Red Dwarf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're just stuck with Doctor Who, which is all over the board now.
That's never gone away.
This is a paddling show, right?
I think so. I think
so. Just moved right off into space and science fiction here. So let's talk about something else that's not really paddle related.
Oh.
Grand Canyon National Park. It's endured a steady stream of fatalities since the busy season began in June. Latest two visitor deaths have brought the park's current death toll to 16 in 2024.
That's a lot.
You would think. These deaths have generated a glut of coverage by mainstream news outlets, with the New York Times, Washington Post, even NBC Nightly News covering the fatalities and Paddling Adventures Radio. The steady march of stories and reports about dead hikers, fatal falls, and accidents on rafting trips have raised public awareness of the risks associated with adventuring in the national park. Hasn't that always been a thing?
I think any park has a...
Especially the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Look, there's a giant hole. Go stand next to the edge. Hey, look, Niagara Falls. Go stand right next to the edge.
It's a very dangerous park. And I think one of the key things is it's dry and hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes people will get down into the canyon to not have any water, and they run into trouble because of that. Mm-hmm. But I thought he only needed 1 liter. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
Need a little bit more.
Well, it's left many people wondering, has something changed down there? Megan Smith, the supervisor of the Grand Canyon National Park's Preventative Search and Rescue, group that educates visitors about how to stay safe says no. So far, 2024 has been business as usual.
Wow.
Smith says 16 deaths may sound high, but it's still not dramatically higher than the park's annual average, which is 15 deaths.
Hmm.
Like, they talk about this like it's, I think just, it's going to the store.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's just, I think, with anything, it's media coverage. Like, you put enough media coverage on something, it sounds more. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like anything, I'm sure crime has always been high, but now that everybody talks about it on Facebook, it seems like it's rampant.
It's higher. Last year, the number was 10, which was on the lower end of average. This year, we're at 16, which is moving toward the higher end of normal, but still within range. Sounds like a competition almost.
Mm-hmm.
The two most recent deaths occurred along the Colorado River. On September 10th, park rangers recovered a body that's presumed to be a 71-year-old man that had been on a private rafting trip. Man had gone missing from the riverside camp earlier in the week. The other fatality was found dead on September 7th by members of his own rafting group at their camp.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Authorities do not yet know the cause of either fatality. NPS officials are currently investigating both incidents alongside the Cocochino County Medical Examiner. The 14 other fatalities had a variety of causes: drownings, flash floods, heart attacks, suspected heat sickness. Victims range from the age of 20 to 80, so nobody's safe.
Oh, no.
This distribution of age and cause of death is normal, Smith says. What is abnormal, however, and this is why we're talking about this, because this kind of sounded weird, is the way in which the deadly incidents have occurred in rapid succession, what Smith calls clustering. This week's deaths come on the heels of another fatality. An 80-year-old man died while participating on a rafting trip in August, end of August. Another cluster occurred late July and early August. During a 7-day period, 3 people died, all in falls from the rim.
Oh, wow.
One of them perished in a botched base jump.
Mm-hmm.
Back in June, 3 hikers died over the course of 21 days. All deaths were suspected heat illness. Some clusters can be expected, such as when we've had extreme heat warnings, Smith says, but the three over the edge, accidental falls, and such close back-to-back proximity was surprising. Guess these little fences at the top aren't working.
Well, yeah, if you've seen any of the videos, people climb the fences so I can get a closer look.
Well, right? I've been at Niagara Falls, and they've got those big stone wall barrier
and
things.
And people stand on them.
They climb over them to look. Yeah. And that's one of the ones you want to take a stick and just push.
Poke.
Give him a little poke. Poke, 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 poke. Get a little closer, buddy. Get a little closer. Officials say that the cluster of deaths and rescues in the canyon have a major impact on the individuals who work in Grand Canyon Search and Rescue and Emergency Services. These groups approximately handle 300 non-fatal emergencies each year, including injuries, helicopter extractions, and missing people. Some days I'd want, like, I would go to a place where if I'm getting hurt, it will require a helicopter. Because that'd just be cool.
Oh, jeez.
How'd you get out? Helicopter. Yeah. Oh, that'd be so cool.
It's the rescuers that I feel bad for. Like, yeah. Individuals make their own choices, and they live and die by their choices. But these rescuers, they're risking their lives to go out and save people, right? So they're putting themselves at risk to... And this is where a lot of people
that say it's my choice.
Yeah.
They don't get it.
Yeah. Anything for the gram, right? Yeah. So they do these photo ops at the edge of a cliff and make these dramatic pictures, and somebody slips and dies, and somebody else has to go and recover and rescue and whatever, right? And so I don't know what the stats are, but I'm sure the stats are not that good for the people who go there to save these people or recover bodies or whatever.
You wouldn't want to be one of them.
No. And the stuff that they would see, it's just got to be traumatizing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, especially you're going there to have a good time.
Yeah.
You're going there to explore. You're going there to have a hike with friends, family, that sort of stuff. And, you know, so they're going there expecting, hey, you know what? These people are having a great time. Maybe somebody broke a leg or something like that happens. But when you're dealing with something... You know, when you're dealing with death, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, fatality clusters can also mislead media and the general public, Smith said. Recent trio of deaths resulting from people falling off the canyon's rim could raise the alarm about safety at the canyon's overlooks. These fears are ill-founded. Smith believes that had the fatalities occurred at different points of the year, they would not have caused the same response, especially if visitors knew that 6 million visitors come to the canyon annually. The annual average of 15 deaths represents less than a thousandth of a percent compared to the number of visitors each year. It's an unfortunate coincidence that they clustered. Which is true when you get 15 people, 16 people out of, you know,
yeah, six million. Yeah.
But Smith and other officials say the Grand Canyon will always pose potential danger to tourists. Ken Phillips, who oversaw the park's search and rescue unit for 27 years, says that visitors to the Grand Canyon should always make two primary considerations when choosing which activity to pursue: their tolerance for heat and their own physical health.
Mm-hmm.
Flash floods and base jumps, those are the outliers, Phillips says.
Yeah.
Heat is by far the single biggest risk, followed by cardiac-related issues.
Absolutely. There's a rim-to-rim hike in Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
So you go from one side, climb down into the bottom, and then up the other side, then back again. And you can do one way and get a bus tour back or whatever, but a lot of people, they try to do it end-to-end, and a lot of people can't make it.
So rim-to-rim-to-rim.
No. Rim to rim. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
You had three rims in it. It's like, there's only two.
C to C to C.
Yeah, so there and back. Anyways, down in the bottom, it's like 120, 130 degrees, right?
Yeah.
People are not prepared for that kind of heat. It's a dry heat, so you drink a lot more water.
Well, you'd be thinking that you're going to be in the shadow of the canyon.
And you're not. No, it's way, right? It's wide
you think
open.
It's going to be, oh, it's going to be cooler down mm-hmm. there.
Not but a it, chance.
It's not.
Yeah.
Summer months, temperatures at the bottom of the canyon can reach 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Like, we get 80 some days here in our house in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
And we're like dying. So 120?
But it's a dry heat.
Yeah, it's not so much the heat as it is humidity. Descending hikers may be oblivious to the heat because the south rim is at 7,000 feet above sea level and 4,800 feet above the river. On a cool June morning, temperatures up there can be in the 60s. Problem isn't the couple hours walking down, it's walking back up. It's steep and the heat can be extreme. Yeah, that would get me. I'd be like looking for somebody's donkey to steal.
Yes.
Ride back up. Tom Myers, who has served as the park's physician for 34 years, says extreme heat and higher altitude can exacerbate a person's pre-existing medical condition. He advises visitors to study the risks before descending from the rim, noting that a 41-year-old hiker who was found dead on the Bright Angel Trail June 16th died from an acute heart attack.
41.
Yeah. Autopsy revealed that the man had a 90% blockage in an artery.
Oof.
You certainly don't want the Grand Canyon to be your stress test to find out the hard way that you have an underlying heart disease, Myers says. Heat can impact a person's perception of risk and decision-making, similar to drinking alcohol. This topic was recently discussed on the Grand Canyon Hiker Dude podcast. Host Brian Speciale interviewed a hiker who was walking through the bottom of the canyon in June with her uncle when he collapsed. Staff from the nearby Phantom Ranch Lodge hurried to help the two, but he died. Officials have yet to reveal the cause of death, but it occurred when temperatures were soaring.
It's very risky. It's like that kind of in that kind of heat, and it, like I said, it is lack humidity, but that gives you a false sense of, you know, in high humidity you're gonna, oh, I better slow down. It's it's really sticky and hot out. But if it's a dry heat, it's like, ah, I'll push on.
Eh. Right, and you don't know. I mean, but it is definitely something.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a liter of water for something like that. I don't think it's going to do it.
Well, it's like you should be, if you're planning ahead, you should be caching water on your way down into the canyon.
Right.
So there's water on your climb back up if nobody else drinks it on you. But and like maybe it might not be, I don't know what the rangers would think about that. We got all these bottles cached outside.
Yeah, all these people keep forgetting they're on their way up. It's like people that go on dog walks and their dog poops right near the beginning.
Yeah.
And then they put it in the dog bag.
I get that when I
go. And then hang it on the tree or put it beside the bottom of a tree. I'll grab it on my way back.
But they never do.
And they never do because they take a different way back.
Yeah, exactly.
I forgot the dog poop by the tree. Hanging from the tree.
Yeah. You say this from experience?
From seeing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no. Our dog leash thingy has a hook.
Oh, so he carries his own.
So we carry the poop wherever we go.
Yeah. The dog has poop hanging off its collar.
Yes. Depends where we are. If we're really close to the front, I'll turn around, go back, and dump it because I'm not carrying poop for the next 2 hours.
Hanging off the dog's collar. Let the dog carry it.
Right? That'll learn him.
Yeah.
But you really gotta start thinking about heat.
Yes,
and stuff
exactly.
Like that.
And that doesn't matter what you're doing, where you're going, if it's canoeing, kayaking, whatever. Be prepared for the weather out there, and don't get caught out without a water filter, because if you get in trouble and it's really hot and dry and whatever, and you start scooping water out of some creek, and next thing you know, you got beaver fever or something, right?
Oh, yeah, you can bring one in your day bag on the way down.
Just carry a filter
with bottom you. And
exactly.
Carry, you know.
It's easy enough to carry a spare filter.
Yeah.
Carry a filter with you.
And so. Refill your bottle at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
And, you know, if you're a hiker, you can just filter your urine.
You're in, pee-pee. but you, like one of the things they were saying here is 6 million
That's
visitors.
That's a lot of people.
And 15.
Yeah.
You know, have accidents.
It's
and,
still-
of course, like one's a base jumper. You don't count, you know.
It, like, granted, even a single death is like, oh, that's unfortunate. It's sad and unfortunate. But in the grand scheme of things, and you see the numbers involved.
Yeah.
It's like, you're...
Well, look at how many, we've been harping on this all summer. Look how many articles every week there are about these people had to be rescued in their kayaks.
Yep,
this
yep.
person's missing from their canoes flipped and...
Yeah.
You know, these people were paddling here and died. And like, there's a heck of a lot more than 15.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, so, yeah.
It's dangerous out there.
It is. And it's just, she says, I mean, it just gets blown out of proportion because they happen all the same within the same little time period. So the media just blows them up. So stay away from the Grand Canyon. Things are happening there that we don't know about. It's cursed, I tell you. So, the next one I found out about, which is a good news thing. However, I did send you.
Yes, you did.
I sent you the name of this canal and say, how would you pronounce this? And we're just going to pronounce it properly.
We think.
The Gowanus Canal.
Yeah.
But if you have an 8-year-old mind and go look how it's spelled, it is not Gowanus.
Yes.
So, the infamous Gowanus Canal in Brooklyn is welcoming back canoeists after years of extensive environmental remediation efforts. Milestone marks a significant step in the ongoing Superfund cleanup project aimed at addressing decades of industrial pollution and sewage contamination. Wes Braver, an 8-year resident of Gowanus, has recently discovered a newfound appreciation for canoeing on the canal. And we've heard this stuff all along, like all these places are being rejuvenated in the big cities. Welcome
a
back.
A lot of cities
water
are starting to clean up,
right?
Yes. And it's nice to see that people are starting to, for a long time, people were just like, yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of a kid. There's a commercial on CBC in the Maritimes. It was a fisherman out with his kid, and the dad was just throwing trash overboard into the ocean, and the kid goes, "Where does it go, Dad?" "Away, son. It goes away."
Yeah.
right? And so there was this mentality in the 70s, 80s, and 90s that it just goes away. The ocean takes care of it.
Yeah, it's deep enough. It's just going to go to the bottom.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
But it doesn't go away. It sits there. And what do they call it? The mid-Pacific gyre. There's like millions of tons of plastic that have somehow collected in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's like, it doesn't go away. We're eventually going to have to clean it up.
Yep. Swift Braver says, I'd seen them out here before, and I kind of thought they were insane given what I knew about the pollution in the canal. However, his perspective changed dramatically after he began canoeing on the canal himself. Just over the past couple months, I've gotten involved and started canoeing myself, and I honestly really get it now. I didn't realize what it would be like to see your own community and your city from this vantage, he explains. Cleanup project, which includes dredging contaminated sediments and building tanks to prevent future sewage overflow, is expected to be completed by 2030. The reopening of public boating in the upper reaches of the Gowanus Canal has residents like Braver excited about the future. Being back on this part of the canal is very cool. This is where all the construction is happening and the cleanup is going ahead, he says. Celeste Lecomte, a board member of the Gowanus Dredgers Canoe Club, emphasized the importance of this development for the community. The canal is a big open public space right here in the center of the community, she stated. Having access to it has been cut off for the last 4 years due to Superfund cleanup. Getting people back out here to experience nature and see fish and crabs migrating through the canal is such a revelation.
It's amazing that it's clean enough that you're having fish and crabs come back.
Right? And I mean, yeah, you go through how many generations never see this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, I'm just talking here, but like in a lot of places, like the pollution has been there for so long that no one's ever thought about going down there and seeing all this little wildlife stuff, right?
And people get so used to seeing trash that it's like expected. You get used to it. And now that they're cleaning up, people are going, oh, this is really nice.
Right?
It's nice. Look at this. There's live animals. There's fish. There's crabs. So it's in a motive. Like, I don't know how much it costs this Superfund, but to see something like that being brought back.
It's worth it.
The efforts, yes.
Yeah. Brad Vogel, another board member of the Gowanus Dredgers Canoe Club, reminds the public there's still work to be done. It takes a lot of work to get people to be conscious of the fact that we're all in this together. Until those tanks are built, and even after the tanks are built, our raw sewage is still going to go into this waterway. We actually have to do something ourselves, he says. As the Gowanus canal cleanup progresses and public canoeing resumes, Braver is eager to reconnect with his environment. And that's what it's all about right there.
Uh-huh.
I think it's really exciting to be canoeing because I think it enables us to engage with these issues on a deeper human level, he concludes. The Gowanus Dredgers Canoe Club will be holding free afternoon walk-up canoeing days for the general public at the 2nd Street Dock in Gowanus in selected dates this fall. Those interested in participating should check the club's website at gowanuscanal.org. Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah,
nice to see that a big city like Brooklyn is cleaning up so that people can get back onto the water and, not get sick. And
I'm looking at satellite view of this canal. It's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, it's there. There's no reason people shouldn't be able to use it, right?
Yeah.
You should be able to get out there, get on the water, get your canoes, kayaks, and all that sort of stuff and have some fun. But if they're, they've set a date of about 2030, and if they can meet those goals, then that's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be 100% up until then, so people still have to be a bit wary, but, you know, at least it's starting where people can get out there and paddle and enjoy themselves. Do you remember a while back? We talked about, we made a bit of fun about it because we started talking about how much the video game system is and the VR system and the game itself. And like when you start putting all that together, you could have just gone out and bought yourself a kayak and go out in the real world.
Yeah.
Kayak VR Mirage has received a free update, introducing real-time multiplayer to the game and allowing PC and PSVR 2 players to join a friend in their next kayak trip.
You could just go outside. But
so you could just go outside and paddle with a buddy. But no, now you can stay in the house, hook up to your video game system, put on your VR goggles and the little handset thingy.
Yeah.
And now you can virtually paddle with a friend in multi places around the world.
Yes.
I mean, that is the only benefit to it.
Okay, so I can see the benefit there is because if I want to go and paddle in Polynesia or something, then I could do that.
Right.
But just go outside, dude.
Where did you paddle this week? Lake Ontario.
But it's also, I guess in a way, if you are inner city Ute and you don't have access to some of these places, maybe it might be something beneficial, right?
You know, it's each into their own. We just poking a little bit of fun at it. developer Better Than Life. And I always have an issue with that because I used to read these books, Shadowrun series, and it was BTL, these chips that you can put in your head.
Oh, okay.
Better Than Life.
Mm-hmm.
So developer Better Than Life announced an update on Twitter telling players to invite that special someone for a trip on the water as both of you enjoy the challenging streams of the VR game. Considering our Kayak VR Mirage review criticized the competitive multiplayer that focused on offering ghosts of opponents over a real player, this is a huge achievement for the developer. In a Reddit comment about the update, Better Than Life said the development of the update started over a year ago and that making a VR game with a character holding a paddle in a kayak, all physics-based, work in multiplayer is no joke.
Okay.
Well, okie dokie. However, that didn't stop the developer from releasing other content updates ahead of this massive addition, with the Soka Valley DLC being released in June of this year. So now you can go paddling there. Players may come across some potential issues while playing with the real-time multiplayer mode of the game. If you see anything Better Than Life suggests, you head over to their Discord and report any problems to the multiplayer channel in the server. So I wonder, so you and your buddies are out there. Now, they have these YouTubers that will play various games and record them and their buddies playing these games,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
We've watched a couple. Yeah. My daughter got me hooked on a few of them. Some of them are absolutely hilarious.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of them are just like, boring.
Yeah.
But some things like the Call of Duty and Halo and Grand Theft Auto comes to mind. Where, now, I've played Call of Duty and Ghost Recon with my brother. He's out Ottawa way. I'm here. We get online with the headphones. We get on the same channel. We play. I can see his character. He can see mine. And every so often, accidentally, he gets a bullet in the back of the head. Or, you know, gets ran over by something. Yeah. Oops, sorry, was that my rocket launcher?
Hair trigger.
So all they need to do, and I'd be right in on it at this point, Kayak VR Mirage Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So you can mount weapons on your kayak. So when you're zipping with your buddy,
you could infiltrate up a Russian river. And
no, I'm just thinking you can blow your buddy out of the water.
That too.
Full-on contact kayaking with weapons. At that point, I'm interested.
Yes.
Up until then, I'm outside with my buddies.
Oh, are you actually sinking?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, my bad. that a grenade in your in your kayak cockpit? My bad.
Oh, back to the respawn point.
Right? Oh, that would be hilarious. I'm sorry, but that would be absolutely hilarious. Grand Theft Auto Kayak VR.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I'd get into it.
Yeah, that would be a hoot.
But yeah, the whole system is expensive.
Is it? I hadn't looked ever see the prices.
Yeah. I mean, you got to buy the machine.
Yeah.
Like your PS5 or whatever.
Okay.
Then you got to buy the kayak or the VR.
The VR headset and the special things. Paddles. And
then you got to buy the game.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, it's not going to be cheap.
No. But like I say, you can go get yourself a kayak.
Yeah.
Maybe not a top-of-the-line one, but...
I suppose if you're getting cabin fever, you go for a paddle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Yeah. Like I say, we joke about it. Yeah. It's into their own, but...
Yeah. Well, think about it this way. If you could somehow set it up with loading on the paddle, like a not a rowing machine, but a paddling machine, I think they exist out there, you could winter train on a kayak down your favorite river.
Right?
So I wonder, is it just flat water paddling, or do they also have a whitewater course?
Well, I think they have whitewater as well.
Mm-hmm. So think about that, I suppose. And like,
but they're just thingies that fit on your hands. Yes, right? It's not an actual paddle you have.
But if you had a paddle with resistive bungees, you could get your exercise at the same time.
Well, you just hang on to your regular paddle.
Yeah, with bungees.
As long as these things are on your hands.
It's got to be some resistance. It's got to have bungees or something. 10-pound weights on the paddle.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And a 50 cal mounted on the front.
Yes, of course. I want a mortar.
That'd be all. Yeah, a mortar. A two-person kayak. That guy in the front's got the 50 cal. Yeah. Guy in the back steering and paddling. This is awesome. Let's get better than life on the phone here.
Navigator, where's my exfil point?
I want the Bombardier. Anyway, so if you're into these video games, these VR, kayak VR, check out the multiplayer. I'd actually be interested to see how well it works.
Yes, I would be interested. I don't think I'd spend the money on it, but I'd be interested in seeing it.
I would not be... Like, it would take me mere seconds to start trying to run over people.
And I wouldn't say no to them if they wanted to give us a demo set to try out and review.
Right? Well, now my big TV's going to have to use the one upstairs.
Well, they could supply a TV. Right. Why do you need a TV for? It's in a VR headset. It's just for other people to watch.
Yeah. Because when I'm running you over at top speed, I want people to see.
Exactly.
I want people to see that stuff. Yeah, it would take me mere seconds.
Yeah.
Mere seconds. Hey, this is cool. Oh, yeah? Watch this.
Boom.
But wait.
Hey, where'd you get the mortar mounted on your kayak? When did that happen? It was an upgrade.
Oh, yeah. White water, full contact kayaking. That'd be awesome.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We will review the software and hardware. I just have to, these people should reach out to us and say.
Yeah. Oh, you guys want to review? Here.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Here's the whole setup.
Yeah. Oh, no, you don't need to send it back. Just here.
Two-man setup. Yeah. Try it out. Talk to your friends about it.
Good luck, Derek.
Yes, you are paddling with Sean. It's going to be dangerous.
I thought you meant my other right. Anyway, that would be stressful. And when life stressors get overwhelming, the solution for your troubles just might be on a canal in Lancashire.
That was almost an acceptable segue.
Right? Almost. It's better than just jumping right into it.
True.
Right? Yeah. So what lengths would you go to get some peace and quiet? Would you meditate? Would you write in a journal? How about a lie down in a custom-built kayak while a man paddles you down the canal without speaking a word?
Oh, this not speaking a word is nice.
That's what artist Adam Chodsko is offering the locals of Lancashire this autumn. The project is Ghost, a free multi-sensory experience in which Chodsko personally paddles a single passenger down a 40-minute stretch of canal in a one-of-a-kind boat that allows each traveler to recline on their back. The trip is done in silence. Each one is recorded as part of a dreamlike film that will be released later in the year. Now, picture a wood kayak, somebody paddling, but the front of the kayak...
The two-man kayak, the front pod.
The front pod is a wider cockpit, like longer, where somebody can lay there, propped up a little bit, and there's sort of a wood hood like around it, like so you can't hear the guy paddling.
Can't see, you're blocked from view.
Yep, you can see in front of you, you can see up. You can see, unless you're moving around, you can see, look over the side and see the water and stuff. But you don't hear and you don't interact with the guy paddling.
All you hear is the water.
The water.
The dip, dip, dip.
The nature.
Paddles. Yeah.
Right?
Hmm.
The original intention was to give passengers the feeling of being a kind of spirit in a landscape which they wouldn't otherwise be able to access, he says, as he buffs and polishes the 22-foot wooden boat. I think for a lot of people, it's about entering the space they know really well through biking, running, or walking along for the first time. Right?
And I saw that with you, there's a picture you printed out. And it does look very relaxing.
It does.
You're in a little pod.
Like, I would be worried about going in this, thinking this is going to be awesome. And then 10 minutes later, sound asleep. It's a really weird thing to travel with a stranger, he continues. There's so many things that are potentially off-putting about it. Maybe because it's perceived as an artwork or sort of mythological thing, people feel that all their normal fears don't need to count since it's something different. And just by him saying this, I'm thinking, well...
That would work. I think it would work.
Yeah.
I think it would work. Because you, if you put yourself into that mindset, into that headspace, not everybody could get away and ignore the fact that you're sharing a kayak with a complete stranger. But I can see how you're paying for this experience, and so, gosh,
well, I don't even know if they're paying for it.
Do you think they're getting it for free?
Well, if it's an art thing.
I suppose.
Right? I mean, maybe they're giving some a donation or something, but they don't actually, I don't think they actually said anywhere that, it's $50, so if you got 50 bucks... Right?
Yeah, I suppose, though, if you're putting yourself in the headspace that this is an experience, go out, try it. This is something that he's purposely there as a stranger, paddling people around, so don't think of it as weird or unusual.
And he's
not a serial
recording
killer.
Recording for this movie they're going to be putting out.
Yeah.
Too,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's people relaxed and all the scenery that you're paddling down and stuff like that. For Margaret Sims, a recent passenger, the journey was an act of trust. It was a new experience for me to place myself totally in someone else's hands and to just enjoy the ride. I'm not one who can just sit around, so I felt I should be helping, and for the first few minutes, I wondered what I could do to help the boat along, she says. For some passengers, Ghost helped them explore the water for the first time. People will travel in Ghost, and after having a little chat, I'll learn that it was their first time in a boat because they don't really like the water, Chodsko says. It's that thing of being taught by your parents not to go near the water because it's dangerous. Chodsko says slow TV during COVID-19 pandemic showed him there is a hunger for relaxed, thoughtful experiences.
There is that.
People were watching TV where nothing was really happening, like a train or a canal boat. But when nothing is happening, you begin to see all these intense changes you normally filter out. Leanne Wharton, a 36-year-old local and another one of Ghost passengers, agrees. I was amazed at how it heightened my other senses. Being low to the water gave me a whole different viewpoint. I loved seeing the dragonflies come so close. Traveling in silence allowed me to take in more of the beautiful surroundings along the journey. But we do that when we're out paddling as well on our trips. Oh, like, yeah. Some days we'll just sit in the boat and just drift.
Yeah.
And you're just watching everything.
Enjoying.
Right?
Watching the dragonflies, you know, flit by or listening to a loon in the distance. Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of listening there, eyes half closed, and just thinking, oh, yeah, listen to that. Look at that. Look at that. Those two dragonflies and yada, yada, yada.
And the frogs and the turtles. Mm-hmm. Like, even still, we were drifting when we were in Temagami. We're drifting down the river. And like, yeah, this was summer. That's a turtle log.
It's
perfect log. And you know there would be turtles lined up on that in the summer, right? So, I mean, we do the same sort of thing, watching the butterflies and all that zipping around. Yeah. Just relax, just drift, and it's perfect. But Ghost is much more than a sticking plaster for burnout and aquaphobia. According to Ruth Shorick, a project manager at Super Slow Way, which is partnering with Ghost for the Lancashire leg of the program, passersby frequently stop to marvel. People have stopped us and gone, you know, this town's been neglected for so long, and it's brilliant that you're doing stuff like this.
Very cool.
I think people are really intrigued as to how Ghost was built, the craftsmanship, she says. I think they're surprised that something so beautiful is in their town. And that's the thing. They're not used to seeing beautiful things around them. Which makes me want to just move there. But that is a pretty cool looking boat.
It's a nice looking boat. I do like it. Yeah. It kind of reminds me a little bit like a gondola in Venice. Yeah.
But if you look at the picture, and we'll post a picture of this on our socials. If he had a glass dome over him lying the front, it would remind me of like a life boat? Pod. Like a science fiction life pod. Yeah,
or baby Ewok. Or baby Yoda's little pod.
Little pod, yeah. Yeah. Lack of access to art in England has often tied to deprivation. Government data showed that just 59% of those living in the most deprived areas had engaged with the arts in a 12-month period. However, during the same year, 83% of those in the least deprived areas had interacted with the arts in some form. Hindburn, Lancashire, the borough where Ghost is taking its latest trips, is the 18th most deprived area in England, according to 2019 data. Shorick, who is from Hindburn and studied fine art, says, I was thinking, how was the world connected to where I'm from, the type of people who live there? It was a very academic, intellectual niche world, she recalls. Ghost emerged back in 2010.
Oh, it's been around a while.
Yeah. When Chasko first used the boat to show residents of Isle of Sheppey around a local waterway that are often exclusive to those with finances to fund hobbies on the water. He explored this area idea by ferrying locals to the inaccessible Dead Man's Island, a piece of Kent marshland that is home to over 200 historical human remains. Yeah, at that point, I'd be going, yeah, thanks, buddy, I'll give this one a pass.
They don't say it's a graveyard. They just say there's human remains.
Historical human remains.
Yes.
Right up into 2020.
What does that mean?
The boat was renovated this year for a new phase of journeys through Lancashire's historic mining towns. The kayak is also carrying cargo made up of objects that honor the area's rich industrial history, which mimics the many boats that shuttle cotton up and down the very same canals.
Huh.
Life is stressful for people around here. It's just surviving, Shark says. We had a lady who was between chemo and radiotherapy, and she said this was the one thing she had in between to look forward to.
Oh.
It's art for people. It's making a difference. People are facing so much, and they don't have the time. These moments carve out the time. This is a cool thing.
He could...
I mean, the boat itself...
He could franchise this around the world.
Right? Like, you could have a whole line of these things going down.
Mm-hmm.
Down the river, and different rivers. But it's just the design itself.
Yeah.
Of this boat.
Yeah.
Where, like I say, I mean, if you're laying in this boat, there's this sort of wood hood built around. Hood's not the right word.
Hatch combing, or I think hood works.
Works. So, yeah, there's hood. So you can't just look back at the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can see him, you're going to want to chat.
Yeah.
Right?
You wanna ignore
you. And if he sees you,
He'll want to chat.
So this sort of separate, it's like the glass in a limo.
Yeah.
That comes up and down. Yeah, I'm not talking to you. Bzz, up goes the... So it forces you to concentrate on the nature around you.
Yeah.
And he's just out there paddling. He just happens. And I think that's what it is. You're his ballast.
Yes. Yep.
Right?
You're
so
helping.
He's out there paddling. And he just needs something in the front. So I got an idea.
I could put some rocks up there. I could get this guy.
Human body. And then I'll go where all these historical remains are.
Well, that was 201 on this island.
Right? 201!
No, not a serial killer at all.
No. This is a cool looking thing. It's a pretty neat idea. And I think something like this, I mean...
Serial killers around the world will be putting this to use.
Right? I mean, I think money to recoup what it costs to build the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this would be cool just as a freebie sort of thing, too.
Yeah.
Say, hey, you know what? Jump in. We're going to go up the river and back. And then another person gets in and you zip them up for a bit and then back. It wouldn't have to be long rides either.
Nope.
You know, you go up, you watch. Because, I mean, even our local river. When you're going up Duffin's Creek, you're hearing the birds, you're seeing some of the birds flying around and stuff like that, because you end up chasing them down the river, the kingfishers and stuff, right?
Yeah, they're always
and the swans and the geese and stuff like that are always coming by. You see all the dragonflies and hear the frogs and stuff like that. That'd be a cool little
through the marshland
thing, right? I like this idea. Dude's onto something, I think. But yeah, we'll post that little picture. Remind me to post that picture.
Paddling with serial killers.
Yeah. This week, paddling with serial killers. Yeah. Yeah, unless I had known it and it was public, like, knowledge.
Yeah.
If dude just showed up and said, hey, how'd you like to lay in the front of this? And I'll zip you up and down the river. I'd be like, hey, how about no?
And who are you?
Yeah. Yeah. And why are you offering me candy?
Why are you in my house?
Yeah. Yeah. So many jokes. Cool looking thing, though. I mean, that's an awesome looking boat.
Even if you're not interested, it's worth going to find this guy's website because the boat itself is a work of art.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic looking boat.
Yeah, definitely.
Was it? I guess they would.
The Project Ghost.
Project Ghost.
Yeah. In Lancashire.
Adam Chodsko. How many Project Ghosts are going to be out there in the
air? Oh, I know.
Art for People. Project Ghost. Yep. Adam Chodsko.
Yeah.
Lancashire. England.
Shire or Sheer? Lancashire.
I don't know. Shire?
Sheer. The Shire. You're thinking Hobbiton.
But that's how you say Shire. Lancashire.
Lancashire. I'm going with Sheer.
Sure.
Worcestershire shush. Wash your sister shush. Anyway, speaking of rivers, there was this article that came across by James Bartlett. He says, whenever I tell people I'm going to kayak the LA River, I get blank stares and raised eyebrows.
You're
going to
do what?
LA has a river, some ask, assuming that the graffitied concrete channels they've seen in movies like Grease, Point Blank, Terminator 2, and Drive were movie magic or were filmed somewhere far, far away. No, I thought they were filmed in LA.
Yeah.
Answer is indeed yes. The esoteric river, which stretches 51 miles from Canoga Park to Long Beach, was once the site of a Tongva tribe's settlements, as well as the city's main water source. After a series of devastating floods in the early 20th century, however, the city implemented structured canals and dams to get it under control. With the city's focus on flood management, the area began to urbanize and the river's flora and fauna were neglected. The river became polluted with trash and toxic chemicals and was even named one of America's most endangered rivers in 2022. And the Gowanus Canal, same deal.
Mm-hmm.
One of America's worst polluted rivers.
Yep. And it's been being cleaned up.
All of this changed, though, in 2008 when George Wolf organized a group of environmental enthusiasts to illegally kayak and canoe along the river to prove it was navigable. 3-day journey caught the attention of National Environment Agency, and the river earned protection under the Clean Water Act. On my recent trip with the LA River Expeditions, a kayaking tour group funded by Wolf, around 15 people ranging from families to excited seniors, assembled at the Sepulveda Basin Dam for the first expedition of the season, which runs from Labor Day to late September. After putting on life jackets and selecting one of the vibrant kayaks clumped together in the ankle-deep water, we launched off. Mm-hmm. With only a few minutes, the drone of cars on the 101 and 405 freeways faded away and were replaced by birdsong and splashes of water.
This time, I've seen a lot of these movies where this ditch, this trench mm-hmm. is highlighted, like they say, Grease and Terminator. And then they describe it, like, there's a couple times where they describe it was like weird, but otherwise the outdoors description was like, oh, that sounds amazing,
mm-hmm.
which is what you're just about to read now.
Yeah. Trees, bushes, and reeds surround us, and a mallard with her newborn ducklings trailed ahead. Several royal blue herons perched silently near us before flying away, and an osprey circled above. Egrets, kingfishers, and a gray heron, our tour guide Gary, nicknamed Doug, rested nearby. After kayaking the LA River for over a decade, I've learned that early morning trips are particularly special, with owls, deer, and coyotes still meandering in the cool air. As he ate from the river's walnut and fig trees.
So that hopefully they're clean enough to eat from, because plants generally concentrate toxins.
I didn't realize there would be, like, fig trees down there. To me, that's like a European thing.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Right? Gary pointed out mustard plants and California sunflowers, occasionally pulling into the riverbank to show us leaves of various plants that can be used as a salve or poultice. Indigenous tribes and Spanish pobladores valued the river and its surroundings as a vital food source and water. He explains, and every kayaking trip aims to highlight these natural factors and dispel the idea that the river is just a concrete wasteland.
Concrete wasteland.
We both started singing that earlier. While the river is more lush than rookies must have expected, evidence of climate change was visible. As we glided into the Grand Canyon, a long 20-foot-high cliff that's a result of erosion caused by non-native plants, we saw that more recently fallen earth had created a new island, which forced us to get out and walk our kayaks around. Gary pointed out the scraps of plastic bags that hung from the trees overhead, revealing how high the water level can get when there are heavy rains. A sobering reminder that the trash we discard travels directly from the streets into the river and then into the ocean. There are also shopping carts sticking out from a sandy river bottom like bizarre urban art. I'm sorry, but show me a river that runs through a town that mm-hmm. does not have a tire,
a shopping cart,
or a bicycle in it. Those are the things.
Exactly.
Just like we've always said, portages. Why are there always like one sock on a portage at the end of the portage? Well, same with these city rivers. There's always a bicycle, a tire, and a shopping cart somewhere along the route. That's just the 100%, way it goes.
100%.
When we reached the boulders that blocked the waterway, we waved to several fishermen who were casting for catfish, carp, and tilapia. Despite the fish not being necessarily suitable to take home for dinner due to pollution, we then embarked on the second shorter part of the kayaking journey at the Glendale Narrows, rowing into an area called Rattlesnake Rapids. We kayaked through Boulder Gardens, which gave us fun little bumps up and down the water. That's when you're glad you're using a rental. while it's hardly whitewater rafting, this section was trickier and less serene than the first. Nonetheless, we ended the journey slightly wet and invigorated. Before we turned to go back, I spent as much time as I could wading in the water, soaking in the natural ambient sounds, already looking forward to my next expedition. How cool is that when you're finding these rivers that no one really knew existed because they thought they were all gone, all turned into concrete wasteland.
Concrete wasteland. Sorry.
You're going to be doing that forever now. So if you're ever in L.A.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things you never would have thought to do, right?
Right.
Like, it's not going to be a tourist draw. It's not going to be a tourist attraction, but people do it.
And it's probably not going to be a big lineup waiting to do
it either. No, exactly, yeah.
Right?
It could be very interesting.
These are the kind of cool things that you want to do.
Yeah. Right? And can you imagine how fun a flash flood would be?
Right? So I was going through these little boulder garden, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Next thing you know, 100 miles an hour, 50 feet high wave. Going through L.A.
My paddle's in that tree. My kayak's in that tree.
And I'm surfing on a skateboard that just happened to be there. pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Very cool.
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
That was an interesting story. I had fun with that one.
There was a few interesting things that come up this week. Because now that the Olympics is over and people are talking about paddling stuff again.
Yep, absolutely. You
know, there's all these paddling things out there happening, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's else going to be paddling soon?
What's that?
This guy! So you're away this week then?
I am.
For the week?
Yeah, for the week.
And the weekend?
Back on Sunday.
That's a good little trip.
Mm-hmm. Yep, way up north. Yeah, going to be fun. Doing a little bit of fishing. I don't really have to figure out what's still in season. But bass, I think. I'll figure it out. I got to look at the books. And there's ranges.
I think lobster's in season right now.
Lobster.
Yeah. The rare Ontario lobsters.
I'll let you know how my luck goes with that.
Could you imagine?
A lobster?
just happen to hook a really big crayfish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just looking at it going like, damn him.
Like with anything, if you the person's perspective from taking the photo, you hold the little crayfish way out
as far as you can stretch your arm.
Yep. So the camera makes it look like it's like a foot long,
right? As opposed to like 4 inches.
Yeah, actually, they're usually about two. About.
All right. Nothing else.
Nothing else.
Really.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to my trip. Excited. Gonna finish packing up tomorrow, and then I'm on the road again. It's not that far north. It's only about 6.5-hour drive.
On the road again.
So it's gonna be nice to get out with the boys. I don't normally see these guys, so it's gonna be exciting. I look forward to it.
Excellent. And then that'll be October.
Yeah.
October 5th to 14th.
Where are you going?
Not sure yet.
Oh.
I may have a special guest with me, but I can't say who.
Oh, right on.
Maybe. Might. Could possibly
be. Oh, yes, that's your fall solo trip, usually.
My annual birthday Thanksgiving solo trip.
Yeah.
And then there's the 3 or 4 day trip at the end of the month.
Yep. At the end of October?
Mm-hmm.
Well, is it end of October or is it 1st of November?
Yeah, I guess it's the Saturday, right?
It's a mix.
Or is it the Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah. October, November, somewhere. Beginning, end, somewhere in there.
It touches both months.
Yeah. And then, I don't know what's after that, though.
So. Mm-hmm. And it's winter camping.
Good times.
Go make some igloos.
Yep. You know what? Trying to stay positive on all this stuff. That's all you can do and just roll with it. And And we went to Tracy's birthday. We went to this place called Dragon Rolls. It's all you can eat sushi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh. There is something to be said for having my daughter there.
Yeah.
Because the order from the iPad, and it's like, okay, we'll get some of these, get some of these, get some of these. And she knows what it all is.
Yeah.
And we're all looking at it going, hey, did we get that last time? is that spicy? How spicy is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Takes us 20 times longer to order. Y'all have water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all nice, right. Nice to have somebody there who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So, next year, and I'm only going to say this now, I'm going to drop little hints. Next year may be the year of international paddling.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be a big year of international paddling.
I got to see if I can get in on that.
Anyhow. I don't know why we don't bring canoes to, like, when we go, if we go to Canoecopia and we go to Michigan and stuff like that. Why do we not bring canoes?
It is early spring.
So?
So it's, there's, yeah, but it's the waters. South. The water's open.
But it's south of here.
Not far enough south.
I got a dry suit. It's because you die doesn't hamper me at all. Just like that guy in the kayak. You're just ballast.
Yeah, exactly.
Just lay down, relax,
yeah.
Pretend you're alive, and we'll paddle you around some.
Get cold, shiver some. That'll warm you up.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Anyway. that's all I got. I hope you enjoy your trip this week.
I hope so, too.
And looking forward. Yeah, take some notes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to talk to you about something about trips, too.
Okay.
So we'll talk. It'll be for a future thing. On that note, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and YouTube. And I'm still calling it Twitter because I don't care. You can download or stream our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com and you can stream or download all our episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.